Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first lesson from the book of Revelation. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." These verses have long been associated with Martin Luther, including by his own pastor. And while it's certainly true that we give glory and thanks to God for the work that he did through Martin Luther, we also remember that it's an eternal gospel. It's not Luther's gospel, it's Christ's gospel. Luther, however, was very much an instrument of God Most High, for he used Martin to cleanse his church, a church whom he loved so much that he sent his only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. Martin Luther did nothing new. Rather, he returned the church to its roots, rooted in Jesus Christ. Martin Luther didn't want you to worship him. He wants to always point you to Jesus. And so absolutely, I can understand this concept that Martin Luther is presenting as an angel, that is, as a messenger of God Most High, this eternal message. The eternal message is that Jesus Christ alone can save you from your sins. God is perfect, and he demands his children to be perfect. And yet already in the garden, he gives us his grace. He gives us his gospel, for surely there will be a day when the serpent's head will be crushed. That day occurred at the foot of a cross, the cross of God himself, who had taken on flesh. God has condemned the devil to eternal punishment and wrath. God despises sin. And he desires you, his children, to follow in his will, not in the will of the devil or the world or your sinful flesh. Martin Luther recovered that understanding. He recovered the importance of the fear of God, of the glory of God. Consider the first commandment and its meaning. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That is what we are to strive for. That is what God demands. And yet he knows, just as well as you know, that it is impossible for us to attain perfectly. But that does not mean that we simply throw the law away as if it does not matter. For we, as his children, still desire to do the will of our Father. That's what children seek to do. And yes, you have a world that so desperately wants you to be torn up just as it is. Yes, the devil wants you to be torn up just as he will be eternally condemned. And your sinful nature rages against you. But dear children of God, you have been baptized. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb reigns on his throne for all eternity. And as such, you may tell the devil, you may tell the world and your own sinful flesh that you do not belong to them. Rather, you belong to Jesus. The whole Old Testament points to the Messiah. It gives the promise that God would send a Savior. And in his timing, at the perfect time, he did just that. God the Son came down, was conceived in the womb of a virgin, and 9 months later was born in a stable. And that little baby boy would live a perfect life, growing in wisdom and stature, loving his father and being about his business. And he beckons us to do the same. He says to you, do not listen to this world. It cannot save you. Do not listen to the devil. It cannot save you. Do not listen to your nature, the sin that cries out at you day and night, for it cannot save you. Look instead to my cross. I am the Son, he says. I have come to set you free. And if I set you free, you will be free indeed. The Jews in our gospel lesson didn't understand how that could be, even though very clearly their ancestors served for years as slaves in Egypt. They wanted to believe that they were slave to no one. They were their own directors. Jesus says, no, you too must be saved in the same way. You must believe in me. You must believe that I am the Messiah promised of old. This has always been God's plan. He knew you, even at the foundations of the world. He knew that when he created the universe about 6,000 years ago, that you would be exactly where you are right now. And he knew that you would be engulfed in a culture that wants to tear your faith apart, that wants to separate you from God Most High. He knew that. And he sent his son for you. He sent this church that he might call and gather and enlighten and sanctify you with his gifts. God knew all of this. And he knew you. And he loved you. Loved you enough to send Jesus. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He has done it all on our behalf. The law cannot save us. We cannot perfectly fulfill it, and yet Jesus did. He did this in our stead, that we might be free. Not that we can jettison the law. No, the law is still good for us as his children, for the law is still useful. It curbs our inmost sinful desires. It mirrors to show us our sins. And ultimately, it is also a rule or guide to show us how we as children should strive to live. And when we fail, and we do every morning, we get up, we fall to our knees, and we pray, and we cry out to God who hears you each and every day. He says, I love you. Jesus has done it all for you. Do not listen to the devil. Do not listen to this world or your sinful nature. Listen instead to me. My Son is the eternal Word, the Word that took on flesh. Listen to him. Be where he has promised to be. Come to his house week after week to hear this eternal gospel of what Jesus has done. Remember your baptism each and every day, trusting that that washing is new for you each and every morning. Hear his words of forgiveness. I forgive you of all of your sins. Do not let the devil rage against you. Do not let the devil remind you of sins that you have confessed and have laid at the foot of the cross and have been absolved of. Come to my house. Come where my son is the feast. Is the feast who gave his body and shed his blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Trust that when his word says it is, that it simply means it is. And while so many will come along in the name of Christ and claim that it is a mere representation or symbol, do not believe it. Believe instead what my son said. That what you feed on today is the flesh of Jesus. And you will drink his blood and you will receive the forgiveness and you will be a part of the everlasting Son who took on that flesh for you. And for the world. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Abide in my word, and you will be my disciples indeed, Jesus said. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In a world that makes you want to believe that truth is relativistic, that you can believe in your own truth, follow instead Jesus, the one who very clearly said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Believe that with everything that you are. The Son has come to set you free. You are free indeed. The church sings. Preserve thy word, ere pure and free, from this vile generation, and keep us subject unto thee, safe from their infiltration. The godless everywhere abound, wherever such wicked men are found, exalted midst thy people. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.